Matthew chapter 28. Beginning at verse 1 in Matthew chapter 28, we have the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what he predicted before he died. A number of times in the New Testament, he said he was going to suffer and die and be raised again. Now he's died. He's been buried. And now we see on resurrection morning, he completes what he predicted. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. That must have been a spectacular sight. As for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." I don't know how to express to you this morning what Mary Magdalene and Mary must have experienced when they seen the resurrected Lord, because they knew that man was dead. In fact, Mary Magdalene and Mary had watched them put him in the tomb. Could you imagine if you had a loved one out in a cemetery and suddenly they come walking up to you 3 days later? How you'd feel? Certainly they must have felt something like that. Well, this is something that really happened. When Jesus was alive, he raised, or he gave back their life, three people. A young person, a middle-aged person, and an elderly man. Folks, that's something to think about. And I think about God Almighty himself. In fact, I'm working on a sermon now at home. God used to be all by himself. Just the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There wasn't nothing else. There was not even any firmament or sky. There was no kind of creatures. There was nothing anywhere but God. How long was it like that? Ever since. And then one day God just decided, well, you know what? I want this great plan I've conceived of in my mind. And God spoke. And just his speaking, the whole universe came into existence. Can you imagine such awesome power? Now, our government the other day, this past week, dropped the mother of all bombs, they say. And boy, did it blow a hole in them mountains. But that is no power. That's not even a firecracker to God. God spoke, and listen, all of our learned men, they cannot even determine how far out in space is. It's infinite. The worlds is out in space. Spoken by a God decided that's what he wanted. That's awesome power. And yet, with such power, do you think he's going to have any trouble raising a dead man? Huh? It was no struggle to God to create the universe. And it certainly was no struggle to raise his son from the dead. And he's my father. And he's my savior. And he's my God today. And I know it. I know it. I don't have any doubt about it. I've told the church many times. I used to believe the Bible. I used to believe it. I was raised to believe it. But now I know it. See, I know it now. That Bible is just as true as truth is. And my word to everyone here today is, you better believe it. You better believe it. God knows what's going through your mind, every one of y'all right now, and he's recording his books. You can't hide nothing from him. And we will answer for all of our sin. Praise God, Jesus paid for all of our sin. Those of us that's trusted him as our Savior. Hey, I didn't even start on my message yet. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important, folks. This is the most important day in our calendar year. Because we celebrate that Jesus Christ, of his own volition, got up out of that tomb. Nobody else has ever did that. And if anybody else could do that, I reckon we could follow him, amen? But they ain't going to do that. They ain't going to do that. The resurrection witnesses to the immense power of God himself. God's power is infinite. That means it's unlimited. God can do anything he wants to do. That's within his nature. There's nothing but what he can't do it. You remember one time in the Bible it said he made the sun stand still. He's God, folks. And if you're wise, you'll love him and serve him. He's God. And every one of us is going to stand before him and bow down. Every one of us is going to bow down and admit he's the Lord. And the wise person will accept him today, because those that don't accept him today will be made to bow down. And then they'll be cast into hell. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. If God exists and if he created the universe and has power over it, then he has power to raise the dead. So don't be surprised that Jesus did and was resurrected, because God has that awesome power. And this was in God's plan to begin with, because he knew before he ever made anything, this was what man would do. He'd rebel, disobey. And God determined, I'm going to have him a Savior. And the Savior's going to be my own son, who will be me in a human body. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Now, today, you may have already heard sermons on TV or radio or other place. And you saw this program here this morning that depicted to some degree the sufferings of Christ. I saw the film about the Passion of Christ. And when he was being beaten and then hung on the cross, I thought that was so horrible. But if we'd have been there in real life and that was really taking place, it'd have been worse than awful. The cruelness, the hatred. What an awful looking human he was. Spit, dirt, blood, mingle. As they hung him on a cross. And physical pain is one thing. I've had some of it. You probably have had some of it. He endured physical pain just like you would. But that was nothing to him compared to when he was made sin. That's when he suffered. When all the sin of the world of over 60 billion people was put upon him, and the wrath of God. God hates sin, folks. God hates sin. He hates sin so much he was willing to have his own son die. That's how much he hates it. And we go around in our society today, and it's promoted in our school system today. Oh, we're good. Jesus, in the Old Testament, God said, in the New Testament, Jesus said, and Paul and others, there is nobody good. We're all sinners. We're a whole race of sinners. There's not but one race, folks. We hear all this garbage about the different races. There ain't but one race. It's the human race. And Jesus suffered for the human race. So that whoever would believe in him, you believe in him? Amen. Would be saved. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You don't have to do anything. The Bible says it's not of works, lest a person boast. Nothing anyone does will get them to heaven except believing on Jesus Christ, period. Not baptism, not church membership, not good deeds. Only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. You know why it's that simple? I can tell you why. And I'm just a country preacher, but I knew this. God made it simple because he didn't want you to miss it. He don't want anybody to miss heaven. If you miss heaven, you can't blame God. If you miss heaven, it's because you were unwilling to acknowledge you were a sinner. He said you were. But it says, if you'll confess your sins, I'll forgive you. The Bible talks about the day when this thing of death is going to be swallowed up. I hate to go to funerals. And I sure don't like to preach funerals. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and 54, so when this corruptible and these bodies we're in today, all of us, is a corruptible body. You just let it die and wait about a day and you'll smell it. It's corrupt. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this body is going to be changed one day. If you're a saved person, it'll be a glorified body, but it'll still be a body of flesh and bone. It'll be a body just like Jesus when he come out of the tomb. So Paul said, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Today, we make it a certain number of years in this life. Some of them die as babies. I just saw where a woman died, the oldest woman in the world, known world today. She was 117. Well, that's nice, 117 years. But she died. Of course, Methuselah made it 969 years, and he died. You're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. But when you die, you go somewhere. You either go to heaven because you've trusted Christ, or in Luke 16 it says you go to torments. That's a plural. And the rich man was in flames, the scripture says. So he says this mortal shall put on immortality. That means you'll live forever with a life that's blessed of God for eternity, never to die again. Never to have any more tears. No more heartaches. Boy, don't that sound good? You know, I live every day expecting a phone call. Or somebody getting in a bad accident. Having a heart attack. They've got cancer. When we get to heaven, there won't be no phone calls with any such message. We won't have to be worried, did so-and-so make it to so-and-so place? No, it's not going to be like that. No tears in heaven. No disappointments. And we go, our life, we're not going to get sick. Amen? We're going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to get to see my mama and my dad again. My uncles and aunts and church members. If any of them saved, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Think about being with all you. The folks you knew on this earth. And we'd be reunited. To live forever? Why would anybody risk not having that? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? Because if you die without Christ, there's no second chance. So he says, this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's coming a day there's no more death, except there's one more death. It's called eternal death. To those that would not accept Jesus as their Savior. Eternal death means eternal separation from God in a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And God does not send anybody there. People volunteer to go there by rejecting Jesus. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I hate to do a funeral, and I see on the pew there broken hearts. People weeping. They're so hurt. That's going to pass. There's not going to be any death in heaven. Because we're going to live where there's only life at. And it's forever, church. It's forever. In resurrecting Jesus from the grave, God reminds us of his absolute sovereignty over life and death. God has complete control of everything all the time in your life and my life. That's the reason when I get on a highway, like 95 for especially, or I-40 for sure, I'm praying for traveling mercies, Lord. Amen? Because I believe God's in control. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is also important because it validates who Jesus claimed to be, namely the Son of God, the Messiah. That's who He is. He's the very Son of God. And I'll tell you what, now that's a deep subject, how God Almighty could become human through the incarnation. You think about that. That first of all, He would even agree to do that. But God Almighty, the one that spoke and all things came into existence, that same one become a human, and he would look just like each of us as humans, but without sin. What a God. And let me tell you something. Are you listening? Yes. He loves you so much. And there's not a single exception to that statement. He loves every one of all of humanity this much. He'd have died for just one of you. God is love, the Bible says. That's His nature. That's the kind of being that He is. He's a God of love. And the love of God is such that human language can't express it. It's so full and rich and wonderful. And just think about living in an atmosphere when you don't have to be careful how you act. Because we'll live in a perfect environment. And it's love all the time. No enemies there. No one to find fault with you. Put you down. We're going to live in a place of love. And it's free. It's free. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's free. The gift of salvation. But it broke the heart of God. They say when Jesus was on the cross and in the Hebrew and the Greek, it expresses that when He screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was like a dying bull screaming. Why did God forsake His Son? Because He was made sin. And God can't look on sin. Not even on His Son. And He was separated from His Son. God will not put up with the least sin, period. And so Jesus was judged for all sin. After all, Adam and Eve only took a bite out of a piece of fruit. What's the big deal about that? When the trees was just full of it and it was only two humans. Here's the big deal. God said, that tree right there, don't you eat from that tree. If you do. And in His Word, there's things in there it says, don't you do that. If you do, there's consequences. There's consequences. You cannot get by with doing wrong. It's going to walk you down. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ just praises, fills us with praise today because we can't save ourselves. And so He's took responsibility for all my sin. I think about myself growing up as a young person. I was saved when I was 14. Well, when I got saved, I thought, well, I'm saved now. I don't have to go to church tomorrow. I mean, I've been saved. So why do I need to go to church? I've been saved. See, that's how unwise you can be as a teenager, amen. So I wallowed around and thought I was doing pretty good as a Christian. Till I messed up enough that I had to get it really straightened out with the Lord. You're wasting every day of your life if you're not serving the Lord with all your heart. I said with all your heart. There's no life like living for the Lord with all that you are. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, said, tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Show us a sign. He answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering, threatening, that is. Oh, ye hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. What was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Well, Jonah was a prophet of God, a real prophet, but he was a disobedient prophet. See, you can be saved and be disobedient, but it cost him too. So how'd it cost him? He got thrown in the ocean and swallowed by a big fish. And he spent three night and days in that belly of that fish. Now, some Bible scholars say Jonah actually died. He probably did. But if he didn't, Jesus said it was like Jonah, the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus was dead in the heart of the earth, his body. And I think Jonah might have been dead in that big fish. Then that old fish puked him up. Can you mind? Imagine how pale he must have looked after all them chemicals eat on his flesh for 3 days. No wonder when he went walking down the streets of Nineveh and preaching those nine-worded sermons. Maybe you want my sermons to be nine words. Jonah's was nine words. And you know what? 120,000 young people got saved, plus the others. Think about it. I reckon they saw that man blotched with all the acid of that big fish eating on his flesh. They believed. They repented. And that listen to the grace of God, folks. That disobedient preacher was used of God. You see, it's not necessary that your spirit feel. It's that if God chooses to use you. But that spirit, that prophet Jonah, who didn't want to be there, but preached that nine-worded sermon, more people got saved by that preacher than any other preacher in history. 120,000. Peter only had 3,000. Think about it. But God loved those wicked Ninevites. And he loves you. And he's offering people in every country salvation. It's paid for. You're not going to receive a done for it. And God's going to bless you in this life as you love and serve him. But that's not the end of it. If you serve Him here faithfully, He'll reward you in heaven. He blesses you here, but He rewards when we get to heaven for faithful service to our Master. Isn't that awesome? What about you? Have you been saved? Have you really understood you need salvation? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all. God wants to forgive you. He's already paid for your sin. It's a matter of you accepting it. Have you accepted it? We must see our sin, that we are sinners, and we must realize Jesus died for me, and we'll humble our hearts and ask Him to forgive me. He has never turned anyone away. And your best life you'll ever have is loving the Lord, growing in the Lord, and serving the Lord. You won't beat that life with the life you choose. The life you choose will be one with many heartaches and disappointments, without any hope. So today the invitation is to each one. What have you done with the resurrected Christ? He's been witnessed by 500 at one time to be alive, and 10 other times people saw Him after He rose from the dead. It's a truth. Jesus is alive right now and is at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for all believers. What have you done with Him? So the invitation this morning is, if you do not know Christ, if you never asked for salvation, why don't you just say, Lord, I want you to save me. I recognize I need to be saved from my sin. And I believe Jesus came and died for me, paid for my sin. I'm accepting Him as we stand together.